not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting in this third week of June 2025. Thank you for the honor of being with you on the Religious Liberty Report. The Lord is good. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, we read, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him." Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, personally, an inspiration to bring you this weekly report. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We must not stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. The Religious Liberty Report is here, hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, to better understand, to better articulate your Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. The idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. We are in a culture of confusion with no points of reference. Objective facts, divine truth, subordinated to emotion, public opinion, personal beliefs. The Religious Liberty Report on the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Religious liberty. This broadcast is intended to help equip churches and believers on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. The separation of church and state was never meant to be a wall, removing people of faith or religious organizations from participation in public life. Religious freedom, religious liberty, freedom of conscience. Turning to page 1 of the report, this third week of June 2025. How should Christians respond to Israel and Iran and this exchange of attacks? In a dramatic escalation, Israel launched a strike on Iranian military facilities, prompting Iran to respond with waves of ballistic missiles. The world's attention gripped by Israel, Iran, especially Bible-believing Christians who are sensitive to prophecy. Many are asking, is this the beginning of the end? Are we seeing the fulfillment of Jesus' words in Matthew 24? You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, but be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Matthew 24, verse 6. How should Christians respond to Israel and Iran exchanging attacks? Jesus made it clear that wars and rumors of wars would increase as the world moves towards the end. The current Israel-Iran conflict, with actual strikes and missile exchanges, is a sobering reminder of how fragile international peace really is. Jesus also said, "Be not troubled." Why? The end is not yet. These conflicts are part of the beginning of sorrows that we read about in Matthew 28, like labor pains before birth, growing in frequency, intensity, but not the final moment. And always at the center of God's timetable is Israel. It's not a coincidence that the world's focus so often turns to Israel. Scripture consistently places Israel at the heart of God's prophetic plan. From the reestablishment of Israel in 1948 to today's rising tensions, we see unfolding biblical prophecy on the world stage. At the same time, brothers and sisters, we must be careful, we must guard to not become obsessed with geopolitics. While watching Israel is wise, even biblical, our eyes must ultimately be on Christ and His great commission to go to the ends of the earth and make disciples. Wars may be dominating the headlines, but Jesus gave a different sign to mark the coming end. In Matthew 24, verse 14, we find, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." Matthew 24, verse 14. The current conflict can serve to remind us that time is short. But rather than be anxious or panic, Christians are called to preach, share the message of salvation. The lost world needs hope more than it needs headlines. Of course, it is wise to watch the signs of the times, but watching without working is disobedience. Jesus praised the servant who was not just awake, but actively doing His will. When Christ returns, let us be found active, praying, preaching, witnessing, and walking in holiness. How should Christians respond to Israel and Iran's escalation? The exchange of military strikes between the nations is serious. It aligns with what Jesus said we would see in the last days. Be informed, but not fearful. Be discerning, not distracted. And be evangelistic, not apathetic. This conflict, again, is a wake-up call, not a reason to panic. Time is short. The harvest is ready. Christ is coming. Brothers and sisters, let us stay faithful until He returns. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report this third week of June, 2025. Turning to page 2 of the report. News analysis: Trump buys himself time, opens up new options. President Trump's announcement, quite suddenly, that he would take up to 2 weeks to decide whether to enter the fray between Israel and Iran. It's being viewed by many as the White House choosing diplomacy once again, trying once again to give it a chance to work. Others are saying it could open new military and covert options. Trump now may have more time to determine whether, after a week of fighting that has taken out Iran's two biggest uranium enrichment centers, much of its missile fleet, and many of its senior officers, nuclear scientists, could Iran be reconsidering? Even after rejecting a deal earlier this month, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei might now be reconsidering. It may look very different now after a week of bombing that has badly damaged the country, and the leaders in Iran may be openly considering dropping their nuclear arsenal, especially when the president is openly considering dropping the world's largest conventional bomb on the remaining nuclear facilities in Iran. Others say that it may simply harden the Iranians, harden their resolve to not give up. Others say that it could just be a trick to deceive the Iranians to let down their guard, a cover for a decision to make an immediate strike, said one retired Navy admiral. Maybe it's just a ruse to lull the Iranians into complacency. Even if no deception is involved, 2 weeks gives time for another American aircraft carrier to get into place, giving U.S. forces a better chance to counter what would be an inevitable Iranian retaliation. It would give Israel more time to destroy air defenses around enrichment sites and other nuclear targets. Laura Holgate, IAEA ambassador for the United States during the Biden administration, said that, "I think the question is, can the Iranians see this as an opportunity to avoid the significant challenges that would come from the destruction of their last remaining facility?" She went on to say that direct surrender is probably not on the table for them, or even total abandonment of enrichment capacity. Many believe that the U.S.'s entry into the war is imminent. It could happen at any time now, any day now. But this past Wednesday, the president said he had not made a final decision about whether to bomb Iran. Yet he pressed Iran for not agreeing to a new deal to limit its nuclear program. Still, he said it's not too late for a diplomatic solution. Turning to page 3 of the Religious Liberty Report, this third week of June 2025, let's briefly cover some major Supreme Court decisions of the 2025 Supreme Court term. The Supreme Court term starts in October each year and ends in June, so we can always expect to have a flurry of decisions from the High Court in the month of June, and this June has been no exception. A big case being handed down just this week, the Supreme Court upholding the Tennessee SAFE Act protecting children. The Supreme Court ruling 6-3 in United States versus Scrimeti to uphold Tennessee's law protecting children from harmful puberty blockers, hormones, and irreversible mutilating surgeries. Chief Justice John Roberts authored the majority opinion, stating that the ruling was only to ensure that the law does not violate the Equal Protection Clause. Having concluded that it does not, we leave questions regarding its policy to the people, their elected representatives, and the democratic process. This landmark decision will likely keep in effect the similar laws protecting children in 26 other states. Tennessee's Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act, SAFE Act, also known as SB1, was enacted in 2023, prohibiting medical professionals from administering these procedures on any minor, and allows children injured from these violations of law to sue those responsible. A big win at the U.S. Supreme Court this week, U.S. versus Scrimeti, a victory for children everywhere, and for common sense, the rule of law. The Constitution never allowed for the harming of children with dangerous drugs, irreversible experimental surgeries. Banning these experimental gender interventions on children for both sexes is not an equal protection issue. It is a child safety issue. A good decision at the U.S. Supreme Court, boding well for similar laws in at least 26 other states, that have passed similar laws to that of Tennessee, protecting children from these barbaric practices. Let us pray for all the states, the U.S. Congress, to ban child medical mutilation in the United States. We can expect 2 other decisions regarding free speech and religious freedom from the High Court in the coming days, one dealing with age verification for pornographic internet sites. The Supreme Court will decide whether a Texas law that seeks to limit minors' access to sexual materials on the internet by requiring age verification measures can survive the First Amendment scrutiny. We'll be watching this case in coming days. Surely we'll have a decision on whether age verification for minors can survive First Amendment scrutiny. Another case before the court in this term that will have an important decision in coming days: parental opt-outs from classroom discussion of LGBTQ themes. The Supreme Court is about to decide an important case on whether public schools in Maryland must allow parents to be able to withdraw their children from classes in which storybooks with gay and transgender characters are discussed if they have religious objections to the books. Parental right to take their children out of classroom discussions dealing with these hypersexualized themes from discussions of LGBTQ sexuality. In recent cases, the Supreme Court has expanded the role of religion in public life. The court has ruled in favor of a website designer who said she did not want to create sites for same-sex marriages, a high school football coach who said he had a constitutional right to pray at the 50-yard line, and a Catholic social services agency in Philadelphia that said it would not follow rules, city rules, in not supporting 6 same-sex couple adoptions. Very important decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court in the 2025 term, which ends next week, the end of June. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report, this third week of June, 2025, the Christian Post reporter had this piece which I found enlightening. The title, "Man with the World's Highest IQ Comes to Christ. Jesus Christ is God." The man with the world's highest IQ has proclaimed that, quote, "Jesus Christ is God." He said this after previous statements that belief in the afterlife is completely consistent with science. Jung-hoon Kim identifies himself on his X profile as the world's highest IQ record holder, lists his IQ at 276, proclaimed his Christian faith in a statement posted to X on Tuesday. He said, quote, "As the world's highest IQ record holder, I believe that Jesus Christ is God, the way, and the truth, and the life." Jung-hoon Kim, writing on his X profile, where he's titled the world's highest IQ record holder with an IQ of 276, proclaiming his Christian faith online, replies to his posts have been favorable and reacting positively to his embrace of Christianity. Kim vowed to use this opportunity to lead many souls to God and declared, "Christ is my logic. One of the best things I have ever done in my life is finding Jesus." You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting. This week I performed an experiment. I asked ChatGPT the following question. I asked, based on your interactions with me and the questions, assignments that I've requested of you, what would you say is my personality type? Which are my strengths and which are my weaknesses? This is what ChatGPT told me. Based on the extensive and consistent pattern of your inquiries, writing projects, structured assignments, here is a grounded analysis of your likely personality type, your strengths, and potential growth areas. It went on to tell me that using the Myers-Briggs type indicator as a framework, I likely align closely with introverted, intuitive thinking and judging. ChatGPT, commenting on my personality type when asked, based on my questions, my assignments, and my interactions with AI. Turning the page again on the Religious Liberty Report. Turning to our economic briefing. I picked this up online this morning. I share it with you. I read something yesterday that stopped me in my tracks. A dad and his two kids and two other family members went to Disneyland Princess Breakfast. You know, one of those character dining experiences where you get to meet, you know, your little ones get to meet Cinderella and eat sparkly pancakes and, you know, live out a dream of sorts. Because the bill? $937. No, not for the weekend. Not even the hotel. This was just breakfast. Okay, an included tip, and of course a bit of magic, but it was still eggs, pancakes. The couple of pancakes and eggs that used to cost a couple of $100 at Disney, not $1,000, got me thinking, what's happening to money? No, it's not Disney, it's the dollar. Most people look at a receipt like that and think, wow, Disney's out of control. But here's the truth that most people miss. It's not just Disney that got expensive. It's the dollar that's getting weaker. We're seeing a slow motion currency collapse. Quiet but steady. Even deadly. It's about erosion. You're not buying more. You're just paying more with money that buys less. Most people don't see it until something shocks them, like this $1,000 breakfast bill, a bill that used to pay for a mortgage payment. We joke about it, but deep down, we feel the tension, a feeling that our paychecks aren't stretching as far. When a normal restaurant outing feels indulgent, making us hesitate to celebrate. This is what they call currency decay. We're being gaslit by the system. You know, gaslighting? Telling us something that's not. The Fed's telling you inflation is cooling, but the receipts say otherwise. They say inflation's at 3%, but it feels like 30% inflation. The government rolls over trillions in debt every year, interest payments on that debt exceeding defense spending for the first time in the country's history. Politicians promising more programs, but not explaining how they intend to pay for them. We're not in a stable system, we're in a slow bleed, a structural unraveling disguised as economic stability. The Federal Reserve suppressing borrowing costs, inflating assets, quietly taxing us through less purchasing power. They say it's transitory, but it sure doesn't feel that way. The middle class getting squeezed while being told everything is okay. This Disneyland dad didn't make a mistake. He didn't get scammed even. He just ran into the harsh reality, the modern money reality. He bought into the illusion and now he's getting the bill. This is the new cost of normal. It's not that we're living beyond our means. It's that the definition of means is being quietly rewritten. We used to cover groceries, gas, school supplies, and, you know, a little bit of joy. But now, we can barely cover the essentials. Families haven't changed their lifestyles. No, they're being forced into a corner by numbers and calculations that no longer make sense. Paychecks aren't shrinking, but buying power has. Stability isn't vanished. It's been priced out of reach. People are still budgeting, hustling, trying to do everything they can, but they're still coming up short. Because the cost of normal has become abnormal. Incomes are not adjusting to match. You know, this $937 breakfast isn't just about pancakes and Disney. It's a mirror. It shows us where we're going and what the dollar has become, a shadow of what it once was. No, you're not crazy for feeling everything's more expensive, because everything is more expensive. The measuring stick seems to be broken. The rules have changed. No one told us. But quietly, without permission, the rules have changed. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. My name is Alexander Alfano. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, a privilege and honor to share with you the latest religious liberty news. Turning to our final page on the report for this week. Hundreds of Christians massacred in killing spree in Nigeria. Between 150 and 200 Christians, including families, children, the elderly, were killed in a massacre in Nigeria this past Friday, according to multiple sources. The rampage continues a wave of killings that Christians have endured for months in central Nigeria. Friday's slaughter was in Benue State, a heavily Catholic region in southeastern Nigeria. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. In Jude verse 3, we find, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." Jude, verse 3. Remember, the Lord is good. He is a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord cares for those who trust in Him. Nahum 1, verse 7. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We must contend for the faith. We must not just stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. Alexander Alfano signing off on the Religious Liberty Report. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.